At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Just right here on KMOX, the Voice of St. Louis. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and we're here to talk about all things home maintenance and remodeling and everything in between. Whether you're dealing with maybe a leaky door, dreaming of a brand new kitchen, or wondering how to tackle that pesky draft that's coming into your living room, I've got you covered, so grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's make your home the best that it can be right here. And the best part is I want to hear from you. It's you guys, your questions, your comments, your concerns that really bring it out and make this show so great. Again, you heard him. Once again, you can call me right here, 314-436-7900, and let's tackle those home improvement questions together right here. We're live, we're local, and we're here to help. Let's get it going. So there's a lot going on, I'm sure, with everybody. Question what everybody's doing this weekend, because we're coming up here on Thanksgiving, and I'm sure everybody has really got a lot to do, probably a lot of shopping, a lot of preparing, getting ready for everybody. I know there's a lot. We have the same thing going on at my house. I was carrying up some Christmas decorations and all of that this morning. We're going to try and get all that put up this weekend before we get all our guests and visitors from Chicago this coming week. So we'll have a house full all weekend through Thanksgiving. A lot of fun going on there. But a lot of thought, a lot of preparation. We're kind of contemplating how hard do we work or what are we really setting up? We've generally got two rooms that we really set up pretty hardcore in our eyes for Christmas. And we're kind of contemplating, do we only maybe do the one room for now, because we'll have all these guests and everything. So there's a lot of thought going into what's happening and the timing of everything that needs to happen. And do we have enough time in the weekend and everything else to get it done, along with so thinking of Christmas shopping, this is probably one of the biggest things for me that I'm just very blessed with my wife and what she does and everything that she takes care of for us, basically doing maybe 90%, if not more, of the Christmas shopping work, all the things that go into that. But I know there's a lot going on. So you got to think about your home during these times too, and what's happening, what do you need to do? Think about if you're considering changing your home, kind of consider what's happening during Thanksgiving, during the holidays, when those guests are there. I know a lot of people have the Friendsgiving, where they do a couple Thanksgivings and they have a big one with all their friends. So kind of look around and watch and see what are people doing, how do they flow in the kitchen, around the house. How do things work out for you? Just pay attention and maybe make some lists, because it could really help you in the future if you do go to make changes or you are considering remodeling that kitchen. Those notes and those thoughts can really help in those conversations with what you do, maybe with the designer or whoever's going to help you with that kitchen and figuring out what to do, what to change. Understanding all that and paying attention to it is great, because it will help you be able to kind of absorb their thoughts, their designs, their ideas, and see if it really would be helpful to you in getting through, you know, having that new kitchen, and the next time you entertain, the next time you do Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, maybe it's a better system in a better kitchen that you have put together because you paid such close attention during the holidays. So, hey, we got our first phone call coming in. So let's go ahead and jump right to that. Let's get to Terry and see what is going on out there. Are you there? Can you hear me? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I can hear you. I have a shower, the old two-handle type. The house was built like in 2002, and they are telling me that they don't make parts in that for those anymore. I have to think there has to be millions of these out there. There has to be some way to do repairs on them. So I've kind of got it fixed now to where the handles aren't leaking, but I'm going to like the major retailers and they don't make parts. And here's my other problem why I don't want to convert it to a one handle is because it's my tub and my shower walls are all one piece. Uh-huh. So if I have to, you know, I don't even know how to go about that. I guess I'd have to get a grinder and cut that part of that away, and then how do I seal it? I guess what I'm looking for is some guidance here. First of all, is there anybody out there that still handles parts in that for a two-handle shower faucet?
So,
and barring that, I mean, how do I go about fixing, you know, attacking this? Can I just cut a hole in that and fix it with Bondo or something, seal it? I mean, I don't know where to go with it.
Yeah, so you have dripping inside the wall, something going on with the handle stems and that inside the actual fixture itself?
Yeah, it's a Delta fixture, but Delta doesn't make two handle parts anymore. So I got to think that there's some plumbing supply house out there that handle. I mean, I'm getting told by plumbers stuff like, yeah, good luck, that's a needle in a haystack. Well,
yeah.
There's got to be thousands of these out there, maybe millions.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of them out there for sure. The only way of finding parts for most of them, we used to be able to, like Henry Plumbing used to have a lot of that stuff, and I can't remember the name of another plumbing supply, but I think searching some of the plumbing suppliers, not the big box stores, because they're going to carry what's newer that goes with things that they sell, and they're not going to have too much of like very old stuff. There used to be a old plumbing supplier in St. Anne, and I haven't been out that way, and I haven't done that in a long time, probably close to 15 to maybe even 20 years. You know how time flies. Since I've been out there, I used to get a lot of old pieces to fix that, the stems, all of that from them. So either Henry Plumbing or just looking up plumbing supply warehouses and maybe giving them a call might locate a place that has some older parts. But I know they're not making nearly as many as they did. And with the safety and everything, they're going to that single handle, like you know. My question would be is what's on the back side of the shower? Is there any access through drywall from the backside of the shower?
It backs up to another bathroom, which is going to have the same situation. At least those are not leaking. I've got it now to where it's not leaking, but I cracked the stem on it. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time before I'm going to have to attack it. So yesterday I went down and put in shutoffs below the shower, so at least I could shut it off if it leaks. I'm reasonably handy, but I don't know where to go from here. And like I said, I'd go ahead and put a single handle in there, except that the shower and the wall and the tub are all one piece. And so if I have to cut into that, I mean, is there any way, barring just ripping it all out and replacing it, that, do you know, can you cut into that? And I don't even know what it's made out of, fiberglass or whatever. And
okay, so you have
cut in and repair it.
Sure, it's like a one-piece fiberglass unit.
Yeah.
So I know they do make, and it would be a matter of can they change the valve in the size of the opening, but I know they do make it's kind of like a plate cover. If you like the round scutcheon cover that goes where the handle goes, like a single handle, it's got the one round kind of scutcheon cover. Well, they make these bigger covers that are meant for changing a two handle to a single handle. And so basically you take all that out. When you get your single handle in there, you put this bigger scutcheon on, and it's kind of like a, almost like an egg shape, kind of longer circle that will go out and cover where the handles were. You kind of seal that to the wall. Then your scutcheon and everything from your single handle faucet goes on to that, and that covers a larger hole. So they do make covers that are meant to cover a larger hole. I'm just not positive that a plumber would be able to change that valve through the size of that hole or not. That's what you'd have to kind of get them to look at and find out. Because typically when I do it, and when I see us do that and we've used those, we've gotten to the backside. So we do all the valve and plumbing and pipe sweating from the backside if there's a bedroom drywall or a closet. But when you're back-to-back shower, you're going through a shower wall one way or the other. It's really a matter of picking out which is the least costly access to get to.
That's exactly what I'm dealing with. And then
are they both fiberglass units?
Yeah, they are. I mean, when the house was built, they're all one piece. If they were just like they do now, like three pieces and stuff, this wouldn't be such a such an ordeal. And it's not terribly expensive if I do it myself, but, you know, it's going to be a hassle and I have to cut it and drag it out and install another piece. But they do make a cover. I mean, that's encouraging. So there is a cover that's out there?
Yes, there is a cover that's out there. If you kind of, you can Google it or whatever, search it on the internet, like a larger escutcheon cover for a two-handle to single-handle shower unit change, you'll find these out there that they make. They are really kind of neat and work. But if you can change that valve inside that opening, then you're fine. The thing I worry about with a fiberglass unit is if you need to sweat any copper in your flame and you're trying to sweat in a new valve, you could literally just melt that fiberglass. So you, with fiberglass units, you may end up picking which shower you want to completely rebuild, do the change on the other shower while you're inside the wall, and then change the shower you want to change to a bathtub and a three-piece kind of wall unit, some Onyx or something like that. And that way you can change both valves, get into the future with both, and have lasting value out of the valves, and only change one shower.
Yeah, and that's occurred to me, too, that if I have to cut this on one side, maybe I can save the other side.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least that gives me a starting point that I can look. Because the unit would, I mean, it's going to have to be a pretty big piece. I mean, to cover the handles out. It's also occurred to me if I can just get something to cover it that I could just leave the handles on there temporarily, you know, just to cover up the holes. I mean, they'd be nothing but ornamental, but, it, you know, at least it would keep the holes out of there. I had never dreamed that when I had a leaky faucet that I'd be looking at doing a whole rebuild here, but apparently I am.
Yeah, it's a crazy shame getting into some of this when they discontinue and change, but it is a step overall towards the better for scalding and how that works, and that's why they kind of did that and mandate that. So Terry, I appreciate the call. Great question, something we run into quite a bit. We got to get into our first break here, so I appreciate that call. And for everybody else, you can feel free to give me a shout, 314-436-7900. We'll be here for you. We got David on the line. If you could wait just a minute or two through the break, we'll get to David as soon as we return. Don't go nowhere.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back. Got a lot of time, a lot of show for you today. Plenty to go through. Don't forget to feel free. Jump into the conversation with us, 314-436-7900. Get you right here. Let's go straight to David and see what's going on. Are you there, David?
I'm here, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Well, a flippant remark. I'm a retired repair plumber. flippant remark being never buy a house with back-to-back bathrooms.
Yeah,
you can't do, can't do much with them. But my purpose of my call, which might be more productive, both Moen and Delta, that might be some of other manufacturers who provide a retrofit single handle with an elliptical escutcheon for precisely the you call it an oval egg shaped to precisely address this situation. And for God's sakes, do both of them at once.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was where I was definitely alluding to. Yeah, if you get in there, do them both for sure and get it over with because you will need to.
And precisely. If it's a tract home, back-to-back bathrooms. Tract homes are typically back-to-back baths because they share common drains and vents. It's a cheaper way to build a house. But it's bad news in the long run for repair, such as this gentleman is presented with. But for God's sakes, both of the faucets are the same. That's my suggestion to this gentleman, for God's sakes, do both faucets at once.
Yeah, yeah. And I did, during the break, I did a quick little internet search on these discussion covers, and I actually just found one that it looks pretty big. It kind of goes from the tub up, and it's wide and tall, so it would kind of sit at the bottom edge of that tub. So it covers the tub spout and where the handle, the single handle, would be on that type. And it looks like there would be a lot of room inside there. I mean, they kind of show a picture of it with the plumbing run and how big it is, and this thing's got to be about 10 or 12 inches wide and probably 18 inches tall, where it would, that, don't you think that'd be a lot of access for you?
Yeah.
And that could cover right over it, and that would give you all the access you need.
10 or 12 inch spread. Well, it's 12. Well, they make 10, 12, and 14 spreads.
Yeah, so maybe it's wider. I don't see a size, but yeah, it's... it's a good size opening with this cover that goes right over, and it doesn't look horrible. And if that's, you know, it, once it's on, it actually looks pretty good.
Well,
so
they look funky. To a knowledgeable person, it looks like an obvious retrofit repair. There's no alternative in this gentleman's situation.
Yeah, it's either new shower or that. So you pick your poison, and yeah. If for financial sake, go with the discussion. So, yeah, David, right. I appreciate the input and the call from the repair plumber there. I love getting all that input from everybody from time to time. And we've got Terry on the line, so let's jump over real quick and see what's going on with Terry. Are you there?
Yeah. I had the same problem with my shower about a year or so ago, and I had to cut the fiberglass to get into the plumbing.
Uh-huh.
So what I did is I cut about a 10 by 10 hole, so it was big enough to work on that. And then after the plumber fixed the pipes inside there, I went to Home Depot and I bought some PVC. You can buy quarter-inch PVC, like a sheet of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not very expensive at all. And I just cut a 12-inch by 12-inch piece of PVC, and then I glued that onto to cover up the hole.
Yeah.
And then I took a white silicone caulk, caulked it real nice all around there, and it looks okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So you basically just made your own escutcheon plate like we're talking about, so... Yep, and that's what this bigger one kind of looks like in chrome or whatever. It would cover like an area that size pretty well and from the bathtub up. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. So, yeah, good job making your own escutcheon and figuring out a good way around that. So,
yeah, so it didn't cost very much, and a tube of caulking and –
yeah.
And that PVC. So the whole thing was, I'm sure, under $20. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yep. Just thought I'd try to help.
Nope. Appreciate it. Awesome. Awesome comment. A little ingenuity there. And sometimes that's what we need to get through things like this. If you're not into getting into just, yep, I want a whole new shower anyways, and the effort and the investment and everything that goes into a whole new shower, especially when, because it's not just the walls when you're into a fiberglass unit, it's the tub, it's the walls, it's everything. And redoing that valve, one of the things that's difficult when you go from a fiberglass unit is that valve isn't necessarily the right depth for a new wall. So if you change to a bathtub with a wall and you put cement board and tile, or you put some kind of backer board and a sheet of like a cultured marble or onyx material, that valve is going to be a different depth where it needs to be placed. So when you're putting that new valve in, you also usually need to reset, kind of adjust where those pipes coming up are, because it will be too far forward, kind of pushed into the space of the bathroom from that fiberglass unit, because those really have a big lip and they're away from the framing a little bit where that valve sits. So you're adjusting that valve for that new shower. So if you do something like Terry did, make your own escutcheon, get a bigger escutcheon, at least your valve's going in kind of the same depth location as the other. So we're going to get into our middle hour break here. And for everybody out there, we got plenty for you, plenty of home improvement show to come, and not stopping here. So feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, everybody, we are back. Rich Orris here, the home improvement show for you. Anything you got going on, anything you need. Seems like today's a bit of a shower plumbing day, but that's okay. We get into these and it kind of sparks interest and stories and thoughts and ideas from everybody. So I'm good keeping that going. We love it. We want to help out. You can find me again right here, 314-436-7900, and talking of going through some of those with the valves and the changing, and David bringing up the back-to-back bathrooms. It's such a great thing when they designed them and said, wow, we can get off of one plumbing stack and we can figure all this different stuff out. But then down the road, with these repairs, just makes things so much harder. And I had a couple of bathrooms, two or three years ago, that both bathrooms back to back were remodeled. And kind of like the advice that I was talking about and that David reiterated, saying, yeah, you gain access, you do both those valves. Because you could think, we don't use that one that much, or we don't. And then a year later, something happens and you're into it, and it's the biggest regret ever. And I had two back-to-back bathrooms with a client that both somebody had remodeled both bathrooms completely. And the way they were set up with the showers and the toilets back to back and everything, well, they didn't do anything with any of the plumbing stacks. Below the bathrooms was a bathroom in the basement, of course, because again, you're in the basement, it's close to the plumbing stack, that's where they'll probably put rough-ins and everything. So we've got three bathrooms, two back to back on the first floor, a bathroom in the basement below, and they didn't address anything with the plumbing stacks, drain arms, anything. They just did the surface remodel, which I warn everyone, that's typically what's going on in most homes. And we even do that a lot, but it's looking at the home and the age of the home and really trying to offer advice and predetermine you're in a home from 1960, you might want to consider changing those plumbing stacks in 2024 when you do two bathroom remodels. Because basically, when I got out there to look at these bathroom remodels and the plumbing leaks and the stacks that needed to be redone, we basically had to remodel about two-thirds of these bathrooms to where we could gain behind the one shower from the other side and gain from the other shower to the other side. But then we had to rip out all of the vanities, everything, open up the wall, take the toilets and everything out. And then she kind of also at the same time was like, gosh, well, if I'm all into that now, then I never really was super happy with my selection in the floors. So then just let's redo the floors while vanity and toilets and everything's out. So we basically got two bathrooms that were completely redoing about two-thirds of that remodel in order to fix the plumbing that wasn't looked at in a remodel like 2 or 3 years before. So when you think about preventive maintenance and what I might even call preventive remodeling, is you're looking at remodeling a bathroom, but you don't have a plumbing leak, but your house was built in 1940 or 50 or 60. If you have cast iron stacks, if you have the, maybe it was in the 60s or 70s where you have the black PVC pipe, and that's not up to code for newer drain pipes, basically for a fire issue. Well, then maybe consider changing these things at the same time, because I guarantee you, as we tear into a basement bathroom ceiling and some walls to replace stacks, and we remodel two bathrooms, that would have cost less of an investment the first time around than it did getting this cheaper remodel done, a lot less investment. But then you're into, how do I fix these plumbing stacks? And even the plumbers that she had come out were like, unfortunately, you need to basically remodel your bathrooms to get to these pipes, because I can't get to them. Even if you just tried to do one, you couldn't get to everything that you needed to get to because of the way they were laid out. So yeah, it's a good thing to think about. And the other thing David did mention was, don't buy a house with back-to-back bathrooms. Well, that in St. Louis, that's going to be hard to do because there is a lot of them. So it's more a matter of find the right people and the right advisors and the right company that's going to try and really advise and take you into everything that may happen. And I kind of mention it a lot, but then at least it's up to you, where you could then say, okay, well, I'm probably moving in 2 years anyways. What's the likelihood my stacks only last 2 years if I do more of a facelift remodel? Well, that's okay then. But if you're in it for the long haul and you hear all this stuff, then a lot of people start to think, wow, yeah, you're right. I would hate to be in that situation where we're having to redo a bunch of stuff, and everybody's like, wow, that's kind of expensive. Well, think about doing it twice. Think about doing two-thirds of it the first time and then another two-thirds of it the second time, and add that together, and what do you get? It's just a whole lot of investment. And think of your stress level and your time and just the people being in and out of your house. How often do you want that happening? How often do you want to have people working on your home and invading your home, your privacy, your space? I know it's a big deal, and I know it can be very hard for people. So if you can do more the first time to prevent redoing things again and spending even more the second time, it just makes a ton of common sense to perform that way. So, hey, if you have any thoughts, you have any questions, you have any comments, concerns, you want to talk a little bit about getting ready, prepping for Thanksgiving, what do you need to do around your house? Let's have some of that conversation. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to get into our last break for this hour, but I'll have plenty of time in the next segment and then moving on into the next hour for everybody. Give me a call. I will be right here for you.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back here with the Home Improvement Show. Plenty for you today. Feel free to call in any question you have, 314-436-7900 will find me. And let's get to Debbie on the phone and see what's going on. Thanks for calling, Debbie.
Yeah, I have outdoor plants that I bring in, of course, every winter. And I'm thinking this is the connection. Anyway, for some reason, we've been having all kinds of gnats in the kitchen sink and also in the bathroom sink. And I've tried putting boiling hot water down the drains. I've used ammonia, and these suckers just keep reproducing. And I got those little traps, but all those traps do is kill the flying ones, but it doesn't stop them from repopulating. Any suggestions?
Well, that is interesting. So do you think they came in with the plants?
Well, that was my initial thought, because I had experienced that at my previous employers at one time, and they made us take all our plants home. I put some diatomaceous earth on the top of all the pots, you know, on the dirt, to try and take care of anything from the plants, but that's apparently not really happening. And I don't see the gnats actually around the potted plants. And some of these are trees, like plumeria trees that I've had for years from Hawaii. So they're in the big corn stalk kind of plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And I thought, you know, when I went out on our next door website, people have had various suggestions, and nothing so far is working, but they seem to be coming from the sinks. So maybe some of the listeners will have some suggestions.
Yeah, that I would definitely call out for that. Now I have, there is something called like sewer flies that do come from drains that maybe they're not necessarily from the plants themselves, but you said you have them around two different sinks?
Well, they're coming up through the kitchen sink and then also our bathroom sink down the hall.
Okay.
And so, then we got another bathroom at the back of the house, but nothing is appearing from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that you could kind of start out trying is just cleaning. I mean, the trap is good to try and trap the adult ones that are coming out and flying around and all that. But cleaning the drain to see if that would help, you can do the vinegar and baking soda treatment to kind of clean the drain. Basically like half a cup of baking soda into the drain with a cup of white vinegar. Let it sit for like 15 to 30 minutes and then flush it with some hot water, not necessarily boiling water, but just really hot water, and see if that helps out. Because it might, if you do something like that and it does help you not see as many, or maybe they're kind of gone for a little while, but then they start to come back later or something, it might be something with the sewer flies and something wrong with the drains and the sewer actually to the house that's getting them in there and causing them to come out of those drains. But I've usually seen them, they usually come out more from like broken pipes where your sewer gases are coming out and the sewer flies kind of come with that. So I've seen those more when you have like a broken pipe somewhere But I would start with kind of just trying to clean it up, do that. And then, of course, mm-hmm. spray the plants, check the plants, see if you see anything on the plants, because there are a lot that can be the little mites, the different things that come with plants. So check out those plants, too, and maybe spray them with something that, takes care of gnats and things like that to see if that doesn't help, too.
Yeah, I have not actually sprayed the plants. But another thing with the drains, I don't know if you're familiar with a product called Thrift.
No, actually, I'm not.
Oh, wow, it's awesome. My husband's a handyman, so he does plumbing and electric and, you know, replaces garbage disposals and stuff. But this Thrift is, I get it at a plumber supplier.
Uh-huh.
They're crystals. You run hot water down the drain, then you pour the crystals, and then you let the hot water run till the crystals dissolve. Then you wait a couple minutes, and then you run hot water again. It definitely cleans your drains. And I've been trying that too. And I thought that would be the remedy, but so far they're still coming back.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
We do have a call. We've got Linda on the line that thinks she might have an idea for those gnats too. I'm going to bring her in with us. Linda, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. What have you had experience with?
I didn't get in on the first part of it. But are they like little gnats?
Yes.
Okay. I was told by a pest company that it's your garbage disposal. And so I read another article that said to take vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I got it written down here.
Yeah, is it vinegar and baking soda?
No.
Oh, okay.
You know those little jars that pimentos come in?
Yeah.
Okay. Punch some holes in the lid with an ice pick or something.
Mm-hmm.
And put in
vinegar and Dawn.
Put in just a little bit of a drop, yeah, so that they can't get out. And this, what kind of vinegar is it? Not plain vinegar.
Oh, like an apple cider?
Yes, apple cider vinegar. And put that in there, but don't fill it to the very top. And if you have lights that you leave on overnight, like I have a night light in the hall, put it there. And I'm not kidding you. You will see them in there. They just draw.
Oh, yes.
They go to that. It takes a while, but then you can look at. I've got two jars, one at the sink and one in the hall, and I check it every day.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for getting in on that, Linda, with your solution. Thanks for the call, Debbie. Hopefully we got you a lot of ideas to help you out. We're completely out of time. We're going to jump into our break. If we got Wee on the line, if you could hold the line through the commercial break, we'll get to you when we return, and we'll be right back.